Blessed morning, everyone. Blessed morning, everyone. So good to see all of you. My name is Aaron. Thank you, Pastor Stewart, for his kind invitation and inviting me to just be able to come here and to share with you the Word of God and to hopefully to bring encouragement to you as well. As I was praying and I was just asking the Lord, what is it that He wants to share this morning and to encourage the congregation? So I believe that the Lord has put this onto my heart and I hope that it will bless you. Just a little bit on myself. You probably could tell from my accent by now, I was originally from Singapore. My family and I, we relocated to Perth about 4 years back. But regardless of whether am I from Singapore or from which other country, we thank God that in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither free nor slave, there's neither male nor female, but we are all one in Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So before we get into the word of the Lord today, can we open this time with a word of prayer? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for this day that you have made. We rejoice, Lord, and be glad in it. We thank you that this morning we are able to open our eyes and we see the light in our eyes, that when we speak, O Lord, we can hear the sound of our voice. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your abundant grace, your extravagant grace. We thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Lord, even as today we gather here, Lord, this morning, just to sit at your feet, Lord, we ask that you will speak to us. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, Lord, that we may hear you, we may hear your voice, we may receive your word, we may see wonderful things in your word. And Lord, we want to commit this time to you right now. We bless you, Lord, and we ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this morning, I'd like to share with you on something that is related to your sermon series, Follow Me. It's what's in your basket, and this morning's passage is going to be taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. I've got that on screen. Now, reading from the NIV version, let's start with Mark 6, verse 30. Now, the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that he had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Now, this passage and this event is probably a very familiar one to you. Here, we see that Jesus performed an astounding miracle of feeding the crowd with just only five loaves and two fish. In fact, in two chapters down from in Mark chapter 8, we would have also read of the account of Jesus feeding the 4,000. And in that instance, it was with 7 loaves and a few fish. Now, this event, the feeding of the 5,000, was recorded in all 4 Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So to help us appreciate the details of this event a little bit more, I'll be making some cross-references to the other Gospels a bit here and there, just so that we can get a fuller picture of this event. Now, in terms of application from this event, there are a few angles that we can look at to draw out lessons. But for today, we will follow the current sermon series that you have, Follow Me, and focus on what Jesus was teaching and modeling to his disciples through this event. Specifically, we will be approaching this passage from 3 aspects: a need, a response, and the outcome. How Jesus saw the need, how he responded to it, and what was the outcome of that? Now, so let's take a closer look at this passage. Now, at this passage, I will be breaking it up into two sections. The first section being Mark chapter 6, verses 32 to 34, and the second section will be the latter half of it. Just to provide some context for you, in Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 29, we see that the 12 disciples were returning back from, they have just returned back from their mission tour. They were empowered by Jesus to go ahead of him into the surrounding villages to proclaim the gospel, to heal the sick, and to drive out demons. And so they were coming back to him with a mission report. Now, round about that time, John the Baptist, who was imprisoned by King Herod, John the Baptist was imprisoned by King Herod because he had spoken up against King Herod taking his brother-in-law, taking his brother's wife, Herodias. So he was imprisoned. Round about that time, John the Baptist was beheaded and he was buried. So John's disciples, the disciples of John the Baptist, were bringing this report back to Jesus as well. So there were about these two events that happened during that time. So with that, Jesus then decided to take his disciples to a quiet place, somewhat like what we would call a church retreat, a spiritual retreat, so that they have some time to rest, to pray, have some private time together. And that's where they crossed the Sea of Galilee to the city of Bethsaida. So if you read Luke's account in chapter 9, verse 10, they went to the place, to a region called Bethsaida. Now, the need, the response, and the outcome. In this case, the need. When Jesus landed at that place, he saw that there was already a crowd gathering. And these people were seeking after Jesus. Imagine them. Jesus took a boat across the lake to the other side. And when these people heard of where Jesus was going, they ran on foot all the way there. And so, when Jesus saw them, he saw them as like sheep without a shepherd. Now, what's the image that you get of sheep without a shepherd? That's probably about the best image I can put up there. But sheep without a shepherd will bring to mind someone, people that are lost, they are hungry, they needed to be cared for. And indeed, they were seeking to hear Jesus. They were seeking to learn from him. And they needed to be healed because they had many sicknesses and infirmities. So what was Jesus' response to them? When he saw them, he said, "Oh my goodness, guys, I was just going on a church retreat with my disciples. Why are you here?" Did Jesus say that? No. He said, the gospel writer wrote, as that Jesus had compassion on them because he saw them as like sheep without a shepherd. So he put aside his plans and he ministered to them. In the Gospel of Luke, it said that Jesus taught them and he healed their sick. The outcome we see was that there were miracles. Miracles of people getting healed, miracles of people getting set free from bondages, and they were ministered to spiritually. All right? Now, miracles are meant to bring glory back to God. So in that instance, the outcome, the real outcome of it, is that God is revealed and God is glorified. Now, let's look at the second passage, the second segment of this passage. Again, you would see a need, a response, and an outcome. Now, in this case, the need was this. It was getting late. The place was a solitary place. It was lonely. It was deserted. And it was dinner time. It was coming to the end of the day. The people needed to be fed physically. So what was the response? The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, this is a lonely place. Send the people away so that they can go and get themselves some food." But Jesus turned and said to them, "But you give them some food." And then the disciples, they suddenly went into a tailspin. "Huh? Me? We give them some food?" And they started doing their sums. And they said, "But that would take 200 denarii." Now, how much is 200 denarii? One denarius is equivalent to a laborer's wage in one day. So 200 denarii would mean that it's more than half a year's of wages. So can you imagine Jesus says, it's very good, you see the need there, but you feed them. He says, "Oh my goodness, it's going to take us more than half a year's of our wages to feed them." And in the Gospel of John, it says that even with 200 denarii worth of bread, they only get a token amount. They won't be full at all. It's just nice. So Jesus asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" Now, that face palm that you see there was probably my reaction. It wasn't Jesus' reaction. All right? "How many loaves do you have?" Now, in the Gospel of John, the disciples, Andrew, who was the brother of Simon Peter, he reported that they found a boy who offered 5 loaves and 2 fish. So Jesus said, "Bring them to him." He then told his disciples to have the people seated on the green grass. Now, as we are thinking about the people and the earlier imagery that we saw of how they were like sheep without a shepherd, the people sitting down on the green grass, what comes to mind? For me, Psalm 23 comes to mind. "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want, for he makes me to lie down in green pastures." So Jesus then gave thanks for the bread and the fish, and he broke it and he passed it to his disciples to distribute to his people. He did likewise for the fish, and the outcome was this: the astounding miracle that every single one of them ate and they were satisfied. It means that they had their fill. It wasn't just a token. Once again, this miracle has revealed God and glorified, brought the glory to him. Now, what can we learn from here? As Christians, as disciples, followers of Christ Jesus, we are all of us are called to be God's ambassadors. We are called to be his kingdom's representatives and agents in this world. And our calling is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and the message of Christ Jesus, the good news that is in Christ Jesus. We are called to be his hands, his feet, and his lips in this world. We are called to do all of these so that God is revealed and God is glorified. Amen? Now, there are 5 lessons that I could draw personally for myself from this passage. And I'd like to share these 5 lessons that I could learn from the aspect of discipleship. The first thing is this: we need to be able to recognize the need on hand. So you remember, Jesus and his disciples, they went across to the other side intending to get some rest. But when he saw the people, he saw the need that they had. He did not see his agenda, but he saw their need. So for us to recognize the need, we then need to be open and attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So we need to have open hearts, open eyes, and open ears. We need the Holy Spirit to also help us to develop within us a heart of compassion, so that when we look at people, we do not see them as just a means to an end, or just transactions, or just numbers, or unrelated individuals, but we are looking at them through the eyes of compassion that Jesus had. Now, the more we respond to the Holy Spirit in obedience, the sharper will be our hearing, the closer we will be walking with Him, and we will be able to pick up things along the way as the Spirit leads us. So we recognize the need. Now, after recognizing the need, what do? We turn to Jesus and we take His cue. So now Jesus puts this, tells us that, hey, there's this need ahead of you. There's this thing that I'd like you to do. What do? I don't know about you, but for me, very often I default to my own wisdom. I start to plan, I start to calculate, I start to chart out strategies and map out ways in which I can meet the need. But as what the disciples did in this case, they turned to Jesus and they said, Lord, what do? So we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And why do we turn to Jesus? Because we remember that He is ultimately the source and the enabler to allow us, to help us to meet that need. It is not through our own hands or our own effort. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. If we are children of God and we have the Holy Spirit within us, we want to be led by Him. So we recognize the need, we turn to Him, and we take our cue from Him. The third thing that we could do, bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. Offer what we already have. Sometimes when we look at a need, especially when it seems to be a larger need, something that goes beyond us, the first thing that we will do is we will say, oh my goodness, I don't have anything. How do I meet this need? But usually when God calls us to do something and He puts on our heart to do something that is larger than ourselves, He has already offered us and put within us enough to start with. That we will never be in a case where it's completely zero. Now, what do I mean by that? Look at what's in our basket. Our talents, our skills, the resources that we already have, the time that we have, the energy that we have, the opportunities that are presented in front of us. All these things are in our basket. The disciples found 5 loaves and 2 fish in the Gospel of John. Andrew went up to Jesus and said, here are 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what are these to meet the needs of so many people? 5,000 men, excluding women and children. Offer what we have to the Lord. Now, some of you might say that, hey, but I don't really have much, you know, to offer. If you can sew clothes, that's a gift. And you can offer that to the Lord. If you can cook, oh, wow, that's a marvelous gift. Then you can cook for the Lord. He says, but Aaron, I can only talk. Then that might be a problem, because then you might just have to be a politician. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Preach. Tell others about the Lord. Tell others about the wonders of the Lord. Tell others about what God has done in your life. Use your gift. The key here really is not what is your gift or how much do you have in your basket. The key really is, are we willing to avail ourselves? Are we willing to avail what we have to the Lord and allow God to work through these things? That's the key. The fourth thing, after we have offered these to the Lord, we posture ourselves. We prepare ourselves. So in this instance, what comes to my mind is that you remember after they have already passed the 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus, and Jesus instructed them to have the people sit down on the green grass, right? Can you imagine? It's that time in the evening. The day is drawing to a close. Everyone knows that it's about dinner time. And Jesus tells his disciples, have the people seated. So within the people, they are just they have a sense of anticipation. They are waiting to see what is going to happen now. And the disciples, who knows the backstory, they are like, oh my goodness, why ask the people to sit? You should ask the people to start making their ways out, their way out into the surrounding villages. There's a sense of anticipation. So I'd like to encourage us that when we have presented what availed ourselves to the Lord and presented what we have to the Lord, take the first step of faith, the first act of faith in the direction of the need. Get ready to serve. So if the Lord has put on your heart, for example, to maybe serve Him in a full-time ministry, but you do not know which area that you want to serve in or that the Lord is calling you to serve in yet, take the first step. And the first step could be to perhaps get ourselves trained in the Word of God. That's the first step of faith. It says, Lord, as I take this first step, I trust you to reveal the next step and to lead along the way. Don't wait for everything to fall into place before you do it. Can you imagine the disciples say, oh God, let me see how you have multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let me see 5,000 loaves here and 5,000 pieces of fish before we do something about it. No, that's not how God works. Because the things that God calls us to do will require faith. So that it trains us to depend on Him and not on ourselves. And so that the glory goes back to God and not to us, lest our hearts get puffed up with pride. The fifth lesson, as we receive from the Lord, we give. Now, some people wondered, did the bread and the fish actually multiply in the hands of Jesus, or did it multiply in the hands of the disciples? It really does not matter. Because ultimately, that miracle was from God. The disciples were the hands, the feet of Jesus in this case. You remember, Jesus broke the loaves and he gave it to his disciples. He could have given it to the crowd directly on his own, but he chose to work through his disciples. Now, as I'm thinking about how the bread and fish multiplied, I recall of a similar principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the main verse here is this. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Okay, and we just want to move on to verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Whatever that the Lord puts into our hand, we need to steward these things faithfully. The Lord blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. As Pastor Stewart mentioned earlier on, we are blessed to bless others. As we receive, we give. So we have to recognize that everything that we have really comes ultimately from God. The ability to work even comes from God. How many of us knows exactly what's happening in our bodies right now? How our organs are in its state. Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? How many of us know actually what's happening in our brains even right now? God knows everything. Just one small change that happens in our heads could change our entire life forever, right? So all things comes from God. Now, I constantly remind my children this one thing. Whatever that God gives us, the house that we have, the cars that we drive, the money that's in a bank account, the things that we have, the abilities, the skills, the talents, we want to use all of these for kingdom's work and for God's glory. Why? Because all of these things will one day pass away. We cannot bring them with us. But the things, what will remain eternally, are lives. So whatever that we have, we give and we plow it back and invest into things that do have eternal value. Amen? All right? So God is glorified when we respond in obedience, and true discipleship is marked by obedience. True discipleship is marked by obedience. I'd like to share with you a personal testimony at this point in time. Now, as we think about these things. Now, a few years ago, I was serving back in our church in Singapore. And at the end of the church service, all the pastors were ministering to the different, to the people, to the congregation. I was then just a pastor in training and a newbie and just really learning at that point of time. And someone came up to me and said, "Hey, Aaron, would you be able to come and pray for this lady?" I was like, prayer? Oh, that's easy. Just pray, right? Yep. I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I followed this person back to the back of the auditorium. And when I reached the back of the auditorium, I saw this lady sitting in a wheelchair. And that was where I panicked. I was like, in a wheelchair, ask me to pray for a lady who's in a wheelchair. In my mind, this is the job of a pastor, as in like a full-fledged pastor, you know. So I started thinking, you know what? I've not gone through Bible school. I'm not qualified. Don't have the kind of anointing. Not ordained. Who can I call? Which pastor can I call right now to come and pray? That was my first reaction. And then I heard a voice within me, telling me, say, "Aaron, what you have seen and what you have heard, what you have experienced, do likewise." Let me give you a bit of a backstory to that. A few months earlier, I was with a friend and I was telling him I had some lower back pain. And he said, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "Yep." He asked me to take a seat, lift up my legs, and he saw, and I saw, that my legs were one long and one short. One leg was longer than the other, by just maybe a couple of centimeters. Now, my friend is not a doctor, but he just felt led by God to do that. And he says, "Aaron, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to ask God to lengthen your leg." I said, okay. And so he prayed for me and he commanded the shorter leg to lengthen. Thank God he commanded the shorter leg to lengthen and not the longer leg to shorten. So he commanded the shorter leg to lengthen. And after some time, I kid you not, the shorter leg grew, and when he saw that it was level, he said, "Stop." And it stopped. From that day, I did not have my lower back pain, and I grew by 2 centimeters. finally, just when I thought that I stopped growing. Now, whether or not you want to believe this or not, we can take this offline after the service. But that was the incident that came to my mind when I heard the voice say, what you have seen, what you have heard, what you have experienced, do likewise. So I got down to the lady and I said, hey, I'll pray for you. And before I could even process anything, I said, could you stretch out your legs? Then I'm like, why did I say that? And she stretched out her legs. And I saw that it was one long and one short. So I asked her, I said, so what is it that you want me to pray for? And she said this. She said, I'm not able to really stand long. I can't really squat. I can't take the stairs. I cannot walk long because there's an enormous amount of pain in the hip area. And standing next to this lady in the wheelchair was our church member, and she was a doctor. I'm like, oh, God, I think I need you more than this lady need you more now, because I've already asked her, I've already gone midway into asking for prayer, right? And so she said, okay, she put her legs out. The doctor was watching. I closed my eyes very tightly and I said, Lord, help me in my heart. And I said, Lord, help this lady. And I just prayed for her as how the Spirit led me to pray. Eventually, I did likewise. I commanded the shorter leg to grow. And before I could see any growth, I heard the doctor exclaiming, oh my God, it's growing. I'm like, yeah, it's growing. I said, God, this is happening. And then when it leveled up, I remembered to say stop. Otherwise, maybe it might overshoot, right? And then you have to keep going. The lady, I told her to put her legs down and I said, sister, can you do something that you formerly could not do? So she stood up. She's like, oh, I can stand. It's not much pain. I said, do something that you formerly could not do. So she jumped. I'm like, oh. But she said, there's no pain. And she squat. And she moved all around and she started dancing. And I was like, you mean you couldn't do all of this? She said, no, I couldn't. It was too painful for me to do so. That day, she walked out of the church pushing her wheelchair, and she was actually a tourist to Singapore. Someone, her doctor friend brought her to church, and for the rest of the day, she went sightseeing around Singapore, pushing her wheelchair, and she did not have to use the wheelchair. All glory to the Lord. She was healed. But I'd like to share this with you. It was not me. The miracle came from God. But my job was to respond in obedience with whatever that I have. At that point of time when the miracle happened, I was still not ordained. I was still not in Bible school and graduated or anything like that. None of that. What are your 5 loaves and 2 fish? Now, I'd just like to very quickly touch on just one point. Well, one or two points here, very quickly. When we read this passage, this account of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, we think about the 5 loaves and the 2 fish multiplied, fed 5,000 men, excluding men, women and children. They collected back 12 baskets full of leftovers, right? And then some of us would say, oh, Lord, if I give you the $5 in my bank account, would you multiply that also that I get 12 basketfuls of money? The caution here is this. This passage is not about a formula or how to prosper or get rich. It is not. Neither is it a passage meant to show us how to make the hand of God produce a miracle in that sense. No, it is not. And the caution really that we want to ask is this. When we say that we want to do something for the Lord, we want to ask ourselves this. Is this a need that the Lord has put into my heart that's driven by compassion, that's driven by love and a desire to glorify God? Or is it actually underlying it a want that is motivated by a desire for personal gain or greed or attention or pride? So I just want to leave you with this word of caution, just a gentle reminder on what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So this passage is not about a formula for prosperity. And remember, all that the Lord gives to us is meant for us to steward it faithfully and to use it for His glory, His kingdom's work. All right? Now, I'm just going to do a quick recap right now. What have we spoken about so far? The 5 points we have. How do we respond? We recognize the need. Okay, if you could just help me show the slide on the next one. Yes, we recognize the need. After recognizing the need, we turn to Jesus. We consult Him. "Lord, what is it that you want me to do about this? Is it to actually do something? Is it to pray about it first? Is it to make a phone call to someone?" Follow His lead, because He knows exactly what He wants us to do. The third thing would be bring our 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus. Avail ourselves to Him. Then we get ready. Posture our hearts with a sense of anticipation. It says, "Lord, I'm ready for you. I'm just waiting for your next word." The fifth thing, when we receive, we give. Don't hold it back. It's not about us. Yes, the Lord will bless us, but we are blessed to bless others, to be a blessing. All right? From this passage, we also saw what is the heart of God. God is compassionate, He's loving, He's gracious, He's merciful. We see that Jesus here, in this case, we see the picture of Jesus as the good shepherd. He cares not only for our soul, but He also cares for our physical well-being as well. He is our good shepherd. He is our Savior. He is our provider. He is the healer as well. He's the one who restores us, spirit, soul, and body. He is our King. And incidentally, if you have not yet heard, Jesus is returning soon. Amen. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to reveal Christ, to proclaim the good news of His kingdom and His gift of salvation. We are called to reflect the love of Christ. And we do all of these by responding to Him in faith and in obedience, by being His hands, His feet, and His lips. Now, at this time, as I just pause for a few seconds, I'd like us to just reflect. What is it that God is calling you to do? What is it that He has put on your heart? Is He prompting you to reach out to a person? Is He opening up your eyes to see a need in the community, a need in someone's life, in the family? Is it a need in the church as well? What is He bringing to your attention? And after recognizing that need, how are you responding to Him in that? Are you saying, "But Lord, I'm nobody. I'm not qualified. Are you seeing your self-perceived lack or inadequacies? Can I encourage you, can I encourage us to look at what is in our basket? What is it that He has already given to us? I suspect that He has already given us a lot. Would we then now be willing to avail ourselves and avail these things to the Lord, these gifts to the Lord? Lord, here's my time. Here's my energy. Here's my whole person. Whatever that you have made me to be, whatever that you have gifted me and endowed me with, Lord, all of these are yours. Here am I, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. And we know, Father, that in this place, you have already spoken. You have spoken to many here. Lord, you have already put into their hearts such a zeal for you, such a fervor for your name, such a desire for you, just wanting to always be in your presence and to be faithful servants, wanting, O Lord, to be found faithful in your eyes. And I know, Father, that there are many here who long for the day where they are able to hear from you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Heavenly Father, right now we ask that your Spirit, Lord, will bring encouragement to the hearts of those that you have spoken, those who have heard you. Bring encouragement to their hearts, Lord, to take the first step of faith, O Lord. And that truly, O Lord, that you actually are the one who will support them in that faith. Because, Lord, you have given to each of us already a measure of faith. So, Father, we just ask, O Lord, that even as they respond to you right now, Lord, will you bring them on this exciting journey, which you open up their horizons, open up their perspectives, open their eyes, O Father. Let them see your glory. Let them see the glory of your kingdom. Let them, O Father, come into just a glimpse of your fullness, O Father. That, Lord, that they will be encouraged to be your hands and your feet and to be your lips in this place. Lord, we ask, O Father, that as they respond to you, that, Lord, that you will grant them the joy of working in partnership with you and being in a closer and a more intimate fellowship with you. That, Lord, that they will have this joy of just witnessing the Holy Spirit just working powerfully through them, astounding them. That, Lord, that they will have a greater revelation of Christ. But that also, Father, that when people look at them and when they encounter them, they will encounter you, O Father. So, Lord, right now, I just want to entrust and commit, O Lord, this entire congregation into your hands right now. And, Father, I pray also for those people, Lord, who do not yet know you personally, who do not yet know you truly as Lord and as Savior. Lord, I ask, O Father, that you will just draw them into your love, that even as your Spirit is speaking to them even right now, Father, we ask that you will grant them such a revelation of Christ and a revelation of your love. That, Lord, that they will take, O Father, that step of faith. They say, "Lord, I accept the gift of love that you have for me." And, Lord, that they are willing to just entrust their lives to you and make you their Lord and their Savior. Father, all miracles come from you. Would you do this miracle here and miracles here in this place, in every heart, in every life, in every household? We bless you, O Father. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for God. So why don't you stand up with me this morning? see a need and meet the need. We like to see a need and tell somebody about the need. But God said, when you see a need, meet the need with what is in your hand. The reason why you can see the need is because God knows the capacity that you have. All He needs you is to be available as a channel for Him. Let's sing this song as we come to a close. This week I pray the Lord will use you to multiply what is in your hand.